That week, which included the hottest three-day period in the nation's history, the heat would kill 3,000 Americans. In Manhattan, where it would reach 106 degrees, 40 people would die. Louis and Norman Bright split the cost of a room at the Lincoln Hotel. Like all of the athletes, in spite of the heat, they had to train. Sweating profusely day and night, training in the sun, unable to sleep in stifling hotel rooms and YMCAs, lacking any appetite, virtually every athlete lost a huge amount of weight. By one estimate, no athlete dropped less than 10 pounds. One was so desperate for relief that he moved into an air-conditioned theater, buying tickets to movies and sleeping through every showing. Louis was as miserable as everyone else. Chronically dehydrated, he drank as much as he could. After an 880-meter run in 106-degree heat, he downed 8 orangeades and a quart of beer. Each night, taking advantage of the cooler air, he walked 6 miles. His weight fell precipitously. The pre-race newspaper coverage riled him. Don Lash was considered unbeatable, having just taken the NCAA 5,000-meter title for the third time, set a world record at 2 miles and an American record at 10,000 meters, and repeatedly thumped Bright, once by 150 yards. Bright was pegged for second, a series of other athletes for third through fifth. Louis wasn't mentioned. Like everyone else, Louis was daunted by Lash, but the first three runners would go to Berlin, and he believed he could be among them. "If I have any strength left from the heat," he wrote to Pete, "I'll beat Bright and give Lash the scare of his life." On the night before the race, Louis lay sleepless in his sweltering hotel room. He was thinking about all the people who would be disappointed if he failed. The next morning, Louis and Bright left the hotel together. The trials were to be held at a new stadium on Randall's Island, at the confluence of the East and Harlem Rivers. It was a hair short of 90 in the city, but when they got off the ferry, they found the stadium much hotter, probably far over 100 degrees. All over the track, athletes were keeling over and being carted off to hospitals. Louis sat waiting for his race, baking under a scalding sun that, he said, made a wreck of me. At last, they were told to line up. The gun cracked, the men rushed forward, and the race was on. Lash bounded to the lead, with Bright in close pursuit. Louis dropped back, and the field settled in for the grind. On the other side of the continent, a throng of Torrancers crouched around the radio in the Zamperini's house. They were in agonies. The start time for Louis' race had passed, but the NBC radio announcer was lingering on the swimming trials. Pete was so frustrated that he considered putting his foot through the radio. At last, the announcer listed the positions of the 5,000-meter runners, but didn't mention Louis. Unable to bear the tension, Louise fled to the kitchen, out of earshot. The runners pushed through laps 7, 8, 9. Lash and Bright led the field. Louis hovered in the middle of the pack, waiting to make his move. The heat was suffocating. One runner dropped, and the others had no choice but to hurdle him. Then another went down, and they jumped him too. Louis could feel his feet cooking. The spikes on his shoes were conducting heat up from the track. Norman Bright's feet were burning particularly badly. In terrible pain, he took a staggering step off the track, twisted his ankle, then lurched back on. The stumble seemed to finish him. He lost touch with Lash. When Louis and the rest of the pack came up to him, he had no resistance to offer. Still, he ran on. As the runners entered the final lap, Lash gave himself a breather, dropping just behind his Indiana teammate, Tom Deckard. Well behind him, Louis was ready to move. Angling into the back stretch, he accelerated. Lash's back drew closer, and then it was just a yard or two ahead.